You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Today, I want to talk about the trap of all the different women's movements. Now, before you get all scrunched up and contracted about this, I want to, of course, credit every single one of these movements that I'm about to talk about, because they all have given us gifts. And what I would like to do today is just talk a little bit about zooming out, looking at the big picture, and really noticing where each one of these movements falls short. And also noticing how we often depend on a movement's values, a movement's manifesto, whether they have an official manifesto or not, is sort of irrelevant. It's just it's indoctrinated into everything that's like said in the movement. But the set of values, the set of mores, the principles, the pillars in which each movement sits on and grows from, often traps us. And we can find ourselves a little bit too, I guess indoctrinated is the word that comes to mind. And when we're in it, we may not feel that way. But it's often that we feel like, okay, I am going to listen to and follow these pillars that this movement is based on. So let me get more specific so that we're not just talking in the meta over here. So when we think about women's movements, the ones that come to mind are feminism, deep bow to all the feminist OGs out there that came before us, that paved the way for a lot of equality, some of which we're still working on. We're not fully there yet. Then I think about the sort of the goddess movement is sort of what I like to nickname it. But essentially I think about Instagram. I'm not gonna lie, you guys, that's what I think about. So, you know, the whole like movement of sisterhood, women's circles, flower crowns. Perhaps sometimes there is a little bit of archetypal goddess work included in that, which is beautiful. And I'm also going to throw in there the pleasure coaches, you know. Start every day with a self-pleasure practice and your life will shift forever, that sort of a thing. So that's another bucket there. That's another movement I see. And that movement is, you know, the reason I put them all under the same umbrella is, you know, from a very beautifully intentioned place, they are all about, you know, the rise of the feminine. The rise of the feminine. And of course, we all hear about that the feminine actually deepens and roots instead of rises. It's probably maybe a different podcast episode, but, or maybe I'll get into it today. We'll see. But that's the second bucket. And then we've got the third bucket, which is just all the awesome business money coaches out there. Financial freedom, right? Like, make all the money in the world, put them in the hands of women, like the world will change. And oh my God, there is truth to that. It is so amazing that we are now, it hasn't even been that long since women were able to open their own bank accounts in the US, right? Like, I think, don't quote me on this, but I feel like it was in the 70s or somewhere around there. And so now we get to do our own thing. A lot of us are making beautiful money. That's awesome. Amazing. Also, as someone with a background, one of my majors in undergrad was development studies, international development studies. And I took a lot of courses and focused a lot on microloans for women in developing countries. And it's been known that when you put money in the hands of women, it often serves the community, and $1 goes way further than in the hands of a man. Now, is that a general stereotype? Yes, of course. It's not the case everywhere. However, they did do studies and they noticed that when money came from, you know, different big worldwide organizations like the IMF, the World Bank, when they put the same dollar amount in the hands of women in the villages, it went a lot further than in the hands of men. And there's different theories as to why that is, but I think there's a general consensus that women often are more feminine-based creatures, though not all the time. And the feminine thinks holistically. The feminine often centers the we over the me, right? The we with a W versus the me with the M. And they look at the big picture. They're often all about the village, the community, the family, the web, and the ecosystem that they belong in. And so, yes, of course, I'm all about financial freedom, both for, you know, an individual upgrade and for quality purposes, looping back to the feminism piece. And then also because I do believe it can often serve the world better when we are using that financial freedom to better our community. So again, with all of these movements, I am in deep like reverence to the messaging, and I believe in all of these pieces. And here's where we fall into the trap. None of these movements pulls out, zooms out, and looks at what actually creates true fulfillment, like a deep peace, a deep exhale, like, oh, I just feel so full. I feel so met. I feel so alive. I feel so me, right? That to me is deep fulfillment. And I think ultimately that's what we're all searching for. Often we call it happiness. I don't know. I feel like happiness is still has this connotation of like I'm jumping up and down. I guess in my world, in my mind, I think of happy as very bubbly, and I'm not particularly a bubbly person. Sometimes around my man, I can get extra bubbly, but I don't think that all of us express deep fulfillment through a very extroverted, sort of bubbly expression. And instead, the common thread in all of us when we have deep fulfillment is feeling peace, feeling an exhale, feeling like we can relax, feeling like we are, it's like, I don't know if the masculine feels this. So as a very feminine being, for me, there's an aliveness, there's a color, there's like so many sensations. I feel full of energy and life force. And so true pleasure, which to me feels a little bit more in alignment than the word happiness. But, you know, all of these are semantics, so fill in the blank with whatever word feels good for you. But yeah, this idea of true fulfillment, true pleasure, can often be construed because when we think about pleasure, often, especially if we're using the word pleasure, people are like, oh, great, like, let me go sign up for this, like, pleasure course, or let me work with this, like, pleasure coach, or let me go and join this women's circle sisterhood thing, you know? And there's things you can get from that for sure. And I've mentioned what some of those things are before, but it often in the world of the sort of flower crown goddesses, I feel like I need to come up with a better name for this movement. I don't know what it is. There isn't sort of this overarching word that we use, but the pleasure coaches, the flower crown goddess coaches, or even just like the spaces, they don't necessarily have to be in the coaching realm. But I find that in those spaces, there's often a little bit too much focus on the light. And there's a little bit too much overriding the contraction, overriding dark emotions, overriding anger, overriding grief, and going right into pleasure and light and beauty and like, okay, as long as you just look, find access to your pleasure and your sensuality, and then everything will be okay. So hyper focus on the light, on the color, on the pleasure, on that side of the spectrum. And then we look at feminism and we have a movement that is so focused on sameness, on equality. Okay, but, you know, we're just as good. We're just as good, right? There's all of that rhetoric of give us what you give the men. We deserve, you know, equal compensation for equal work. Makes sense to me. I would like that. I think we should all be a yes to that. And equality does not mean we need to also be the same. We can be equal but different. And I'm going to lump up, you know, knowing that there's a spectrum of humans, right? That we're in this beautiful exploration of all the different ways that we can express gender. And we're just feeling into it. We're just getting into this world of how do we navigate and honor the unique expression of each human while also continuing to see patterns. And my thing, and you'll hear this, I think, a lot in a lot of my analysis, is I zoom out a lot. I'm a pattern seeker. I see the collective patterns a lot, and I like to speak to them. I like to watch them. I get really curious. And so often when we do zoom out, we have to make certain generalizations with the, you know, the little caveat and disclaimer that it's never about the, you know, nothing always fits, but it's sort of like statistics. When we look at statistical, not to lose you guys in this, I'm so not a math person. I think it's hilarious that this is coming out right now. But, you know, in statistics, when we're taking a whole set of data, you often have like the average, the median, you know, these sort of things. And then you have the outliers, and then you have, which is like not the best name for it, like the outliers. Already you feel like you're not part of the whole formula, which is not true. But you have these numbers and this data that doesn't necessarily fit in with the average. And so in life, we just have to know that, you know, it's never just about this or that, and it's not just about the average or the median data. And so, you know, just want to put that out there. All right. And In feminism, this idea of sameness gets construed and confused with equality. And so it's like, we're the same. Okay, but are we the same though? Are we the same? Because there's a reason that so many books have been written about, like, men function this way, women function this way. Again, like, it's such a generalization. I get that. And I think that we often just confused feminine creatures with women and then masculine creatures with men. And so the semantics are a little off. And it's just because the majority of men, as far as we know so far, are primarily masculine creatures. And the majority, again, I'm saying majority, not all, of women are like feminine essenced creatures. And what I mean by that is just they have more feminine than masculine. We all have both. It's just what is the ratio? And so what feminism often misses out on and traps us into is dismissing the feminine desires that we have, the feminine expression that is very different for us than a masculine expression. And so what that movement got wrong, in my opinion, is that it equated equality with sameness, sameness with equality. It doesn't allow for us to give permission to the fact that maybe some feminine creatures do love tending to the home by choice, voluntarily. This is the key. And not because society is saying, well, this is the only option for you. But where there's choice to do that. And that choice comes from just a natural inclination to nurture, to create beauty, to love in one particular way. So instead, we got confused and we went, okay, all of us need to go to the workplace and all of us get to wear suits now and all of us. And then we're like, wait a second, hold on. Do I feel good? Am I fulfilled? Is this true pleasure for me? And for some people, it might be. And for others, it's going to feel devoid. But there's this, again, the manifesto, the pillars, the principles in which it's based on seem so alluring that you're like, well, of course I want to be equal and go and be a boss babe and fucking rocket and CEO and all that good stuff. And then we see all these women at the top, lonely, really, really just wanting a partner that meets them. Coming home at the end of the day and, you know, eating takeout, microwave dinners. Is that even a thing anymore, microwave dinners? I feel so old when I say that. Right? And they've got their cat or their dog and they're like, I just want a partner. Understandably so. Feminism forgot about that part. Feminism ignored all the deep desires we have for union, for being met, for being held, right? For having a container that really holds us in our feminine. And that we don't always have to do it ourselves. We can, and how fucking cool that we can. And we don't always have to do it ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to. So that's the trap of feminism, is the idea that you can do it all on your own, that once you get equality, you are fulfilled, you're in true pleasure, because you can have anything you want. Which brings us to the financial freedom people, right? Money solves everything, doesn't it? And let's be real, guys, it solves a lot of problems. It really does. I can't wait to be a millionaire. Sounds like pretty epic. And Also, hilariously, being a millionaire now doesn't mean anything anymore. Like back in the day, millionaire was a lot. Like as a side note, I talk about this a lot with friends and my partner. It's like back in the day, like $1 million was like, yeah, I'm set for life. Now $1 million like doesn't even get you a 2-bedroom house in a lot of places in the US. You know, it's funny. But yeah, let's say, okay, you financial freedom, money, business coaches, right? That whole movement is like, okay, just bust your ass and you're gonna make it. Charge, you know, charge your worth, da da da, all these things. And again, there's so much money mindset work I've done and that I continue to do that is incredibly valuable. I think that there is so much beauty to getting more money in the hands of women, and also for women to be breaking the patterns of their lineage, the scarcity money stuff in their lineage. I know I'm one of those people in my family, in my lineage. No woman before me has made money, as far as I know, from all the people I know, has made money running her own business in service, doing good in the world, not like selling t-shirts. Although you can argue selling t-shirts does good in the world too, right? And making her own money at the same time, not depending on a man to do it. And interestingly enough, a lot of the women around me in these situations where they've broken through the lineage, they've gotten their financial freedom and whatever that looks like for them, and they are in this interesting journey of leaning back into the support of their partners and exploring, like, is this something I want to do? And noticing how we've gotten so obsessed with financial freedom and with independence that it actually feels really difficult to surrender back into the arms and the financial holding of our partners, which in most cases are men. And so there's a whole nother social connotation to it. There's a whole nother feminist undertone to it. No, I don't want to let go of control. Which then brings us back to the pleasure that we're all seeking and how the feminine in all of us, no matter how deeply we connect with being feminine essence being, but the feminine part of us longs for surrender, longs for no control. Believe it or not, I know all you control freaks, I am one of them. Okay, is like, I don't know about this. But we have this like opposing force in us. The part of us that's like, I want to be independent, I'm a feminist, I'm da da da. And then the other part of us that's going, please, someone just come protect me and provide for me and do it for me. And you may not connect with that consciously. Some of us do. Some of us are like straight up like, yeah, I'd love a provider and a protector, thanks. And for some of you, you may not resonate with that, but there is a part of you that longs for a deep, 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 like next level dissolution into pleasure, like puddle of ecstasy. Right? Like, I think you can all probably agree that a puddle of ecstasy sounds like an awesome place to at least taste every so often. And a puddle of ecstasy can only be accessed truly in the body through complete lack of control, complete surrender. Complete surrender only comes when we have the other person with us holding us, or we have another force in the room. If we're not somehow doing this in partnership as two humans, we have another force in the room. So there are practices you can do where you can call in a masculine energy, or you can work with the physical sensation of masculine support in your system and still just be, you know, dropping into your feminine alone. So you're the only body in the room. But either way, there has to be full trust in what's holding you. There has to be full surrender. There has to be an obliteration of control. So you can just sink into that like puddle of ecstasy. When people talk about like earth-shattering cosmic orgasms, what are they talking about? They're talking about the sensation of completely losing sense of the me. You're no longer just in your physical body with your boundaries. The boundaries between you and the entire world have dissolved. And you now are the entire world. We all, on some level, whether we know it or not, desire that deep fucking union with the cosmos. Whether you're out there looking for money, you're like, financial freedom is the thing. Whether you're like, I'm going to hire a pleasure coach. I'm going to go do the sister circles. I'm going to go be like a staunch feminist, right? Like in all cases, on some, when you strip away all the details, what is the deep longing? Where do you get that fulfillment, that the deepest pleasure you possibly can? It is in the obliteration of your own boundaries as an individual, as an egoic being, into I am everything, everything is me. Every single religion, cult, movement, every practice you do in your, you know, daily morning practice, all these things, on some level, you are trying to get to this place of union. I'm curious to hear, you know, I always love hearing from you guys. It's like, it's so talking into the void, like on the floor in my bedroom is, sometimes you're like, is anyone here? Because it's so much more fun to be in dialogue. And so I love hearing from you guys. I love knowing, oh, did I miss a spot? Because there's no way I'm going to cover everything. There's always going to be opposing opinions. And I love debating. I love talking about it. And I'll put a little asterisk next to debate. I am not interested in being in useless debate where there's no open hearts. I'm talking about like curiosity and exploration amongst beings. Not the like, I'm right, you're wrong thing that's been happening for the last few years on the internet. That is not at all something I'm interested in. But there's, I'm talking about beautiful conscious debate. I'm talking about curiosity, about going, ooh, is there something that resonates with what you're saying? And then there's something that's not really landing for me. And I think it's around this piece. And like, you know, that's a beautiful debate. So to come back in, to pull it back in, we have all of these movements that promise this or promise that, or that have these intentions, all of which are good. But ultimately, we're all just looking for that deep pleasure that comes with the little death of orgasm. And orgasm does not have to be as you are being with another human. It often is. But I'm talking about an orgasmic state with the world. And the goal is never to be always in that state. I just want to clarify, because again, then we go back into the pleasure coach trap. Let's just be in an orgasmic state all the time. Let's not. Let's not, actually. And I'll tell you why. Because we came on this earth to be humans. As humans, we have an ego. As humans, we are in a separate vessel that is our body, in order to have an experience where we are oscillating and dancing between being individuals and being connected to the rest of the world. And the experience of being human is that combo, moments of such deep connection that you've obliterated your own boundaries of who you are as yourself, And then times of complete loneliness and isolation, or just even, you know, that's the one end of the spectrum. But like, there's also experiencing yourself as an individual in a positive way. I'm having a feeling that could be very pleasurable, and the world around me is not. That's part of the human experience. It does not have to be one or the other. But I think when we again zoom out even more, the trap that we put ourselves in unconsciously is that we are always trying to reach one particular state, and it's often a state that is more light, day, summer, right? Happy, ecstatic, equal, more money. Instead of realizing that actually the truest fulfillment for us in a human body, having a human experience, is to be in our authentic embodied expression. An authentic embodied expression is the entire freaking rainbow. It's not one or the other. And it's less about, do I feel happy? Do I feel sad? Do I feel fulfilled? Do I feel grief? Do I, you know, it's actually more about, am I in alignment and do I give permission to my feelings? And do I then express them? So one, can I drop into the feeling? Can I even connect with it, or do I override it? And then two, I've dropped into the feeling. Can I express it? Why is it important to express it? Because when you express it, you move it. And you're not stagnant. You're not stuck. You're dancing. Literally and metaphorically. You become a transmuter. You become an alchemizer. And that is deep fulfillment, because pleasure comes from expression of truth. It comes from an expression of authenticity. I'll be doing a separate podcast where I talk about the framework of authenticity and attachment, which is a framework I learned from Dr. Gabor Mate and I use all the time. Anyone who's done any of my workshops, has done any sort of coaching with me, knows that this is the basis of so much. And so I'm just going to outline it for you. The framework basically says that there's essentially two like primal needs that every human has: attachment and authenticity. Attachment, which many of you may already be aware of, is about love. It is about, the number one focus is, how can I get love? How can I get love? How can I get love? Now, the reason that we have that need is that we as humans require, and in the whole animal kingdom, we require the most caregiving when we are babies. You know, you look at some animals in nature and they don't require, they get like hatched out of the egg or something and then they're off on their own, or they get birthed and then they're swimming in the sea and we're good. We require, like, we will actually die if we don't have someone taking care of us for the first few years of our lives. And so our nervous system is set up in such a way that we prioritize getting love of our caregivers in the first few years of our lives in order to stay alive. It's truly a survival mechanism. Now, that attachment then continues and sort of gets, like, you know, etched into our programming. And so then often we are acting this out as adults when it's not, and it feels like a life or death situation, it no longer actually is, right? Like, we can often fend for ourselves if we are 25, even though we might be on the street and everything's falling apart. But like, there's a way that your primal instincts come in as in an animal body and you just figure it out. And then we have authenticity, right? You've got these babies, these kids that are growing up, and they are like figuring themselves out, and they're learning how to express, and they're being in all their emotions, and they're expressing them. And often, you know, And they'll get messages around, oh, this is not okay, right? And it's not conscious, but like a kid's crying and the parent is like, okay, honey, like that's enough. Like we got to go to grandma's now, right? Or whatever. And it's not meant from a malicious place, but it basically signals like you can't be yourself. It's not okay to be yourself. And so often what kids will learn is in order for me to get my attachment needs met, my authenticity needs have to be sacrificed. Or I can, you know, and that's usually what they prioritize is the attachment because they're still in the tender age of I need someone to take care of me. And so then we become adults. And what happens is we continue to do that. We choose attachment needs over authenticity. This is why I have a job, because so many people have been running on attachment needs as adults and are realizing, wait a second, my authenticity needs have never really been met. And I'm ready to be in the exploration of what I authentically need to express in the world. Who am I? What is my purpose? How do I show up? How do I move in my body as a woman, as a man, right? And I think that there's something so beautiful about this movement because it's liberating when we suddenly realize, oh, wait a second, I just haven't been me fully and I get to be me. And now as an adult, being me does not mean I lose love. It doesn't mean I lose love. In fact, it means I can gain a lot of it, but we're not doing it because we're gaining love. Although that's a nice consequence, right? We're doing it because it gives us that deep fulfillment, because the truest expression of where we are, what's authentic to us, then drops us into that union, that orgasmic state that we're talking about, where we feel one with the universe and what the thing that everyone's seeking, whether they have words for it or not. And guess what, guys? You don't need money for that. Except maybe to hire an embodiment coach. Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm sort of joking about this. I mean, but yes, it's a good investment. And also, you don't need it because you can ultimately figure it out yourself, right? But of course, an embodiment coach will get you there faster. It's just a catalyst. But anything in anything in the personal development world is not a necessity. It is simply an expediter, a catalyst. It speeds everything up. You have all the information you need. You can sit down and get really present, really conscious, have practices, do it all on your own. It just may take you way longer. And so when people hire coaches, when people hire healers, mentors, priestesses, shamans, they're just expediting what they could do on their own. Now, if you're hiring them because you want an answer, that's a whole different story. That's, you know, you're going to be sadly disappointed because the answers are all within, but facilitators and guides can help you get there faster. So we are all just searching for a way in which to be authentically expressed in our bodies. So yes, we can pull from feminism. Yes, we can pull from the pleasure coaches. And yes, we can pull from the money business coaches. And like I said at the very beginning of this episode, yes, they all have gifts. I'm a yes to so many of these things, but do not get trapped. Do not get trapped in the shiny object at the end, whether that's literally a dollar sign or more clients, whether that's like, oh, okay, well, once I'm CEO of this Fortune 500 company, everything's going to be great. I'm going to be the first woman to be, you know, the CEO of this company, and then my life will be fulfilled. And then also the trap of it's all about, you know, the light and pleasure and happiness and colorful, beautiful things. And if your whole house is, you know, white and Instagram worthy, I don't know why I connect that to it, but it just feels like it's all sort of enmeshed in that same movement of, you know, just like the wellness, yoga, Instagram influencer, like light. I just think everything's white and everything's light and everything's like lightly colored, you know, different tones of beige. And to clarify, there's nothing wrong with that. My room is different tones of beige as well. But I get to fill the bedroom of all these different beige tones with all sorts of feelings, because I let myself feel them all. Yeah. So that's the key. Don't let the white beige palette mute your insides. You get to have a beautiful light space because that feels airy and spacious and awesome. Wonderful. A snake plant to purify the air. Awesome. And don't get trapped in that mood. Don't do it, because that's a dishonoring of your truth, of your authenticity. And that's where you will feel like something is not right. Something doesn't feel good. I can't fully exhale in this beautiful home that I decorated. Why can't I exhale? Why can't I exhale? We all just want to exhale. Why is the exhale so important? Again, another podcast. Why is the exhale so important? Because the exhale is a physical representation, an embodied expression of letting go, of widening, of just dissolving just a teeny bit with one breath, that boundary between you and the rest of the world, which is the portal. It is the way to orgasmic states. It is the way to more life force, to more aliveness. And that's what we want, guys. That's what we want. All right. That's my little rant for the day, if we can call it a rant. It's my sermon. It's my preaching. It's my words of wisdom. It's my musings. It's just what's on my heart today. Take it or leave it. I always love to hear from you. I love to know if you're in disagreement around something, if you're in agreement around something, if you're like, I'm curious about this other piece that we didn't really get into. Maybe it's a podcast episode for the future. Let me know. DM me on Instagram at Nadia Munla. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And then maybe I elaborate on that point. Keep it loving, though. I will only receive loving. It can be loving disagreement, but it's got to be loving. It's got to be curious. It's got to come from a place of removing. We want to move. We're all on the same boat. We're trying to move in the same direction. We're not fighting each other. Okay. I'll see you guys soon.
If this episode juiced you up, turned you on, and got you interested in private coaching with me, head on over to nadiamunla.com. The Work With Me page outlines everything, the time containers, the price points, who I work with, and so on and so forth. And if you still have questions after that, you can email us at info@nadiamunla.com to inquire about applications or anything else that was not answered on the page. And then when I receive your application, if I feel like we're a fit, we always hop on an exploration call before we commit to anything. And this to me is like going on a date, going on a coaching date. And we do that in order to really confirm that this is a relationship we both want to enter into for a period of time. We get clear on what it is that I can support you with, whether I am the best person to support you, and how we will do so. So if this is you, I can't wait to get your application and hop on the phone with you soon.
I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.